Alrighty. Okay, we'll call a public meeting to order at 6:04. Take a roll call vote, make sure we can all hear and be heard. Mr. Corson?
We can now, yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer? Where did Mark go?
Oh, he's not on the screen anymore. Okay, I'll watch for him coming back.
There he is.
There.
He looks a lot better that way.
Yeah.
Mark, we're doing a roll call vote, so you're up, if you'd just acknowledge. Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Hill?
Here.
And Mr. Maine is here. We have two participants, Marjorie Stratton?
I'm here.
And Christine?
I'm here.
Okay, thank you. And we have two participants, two attendees. Okay. Public comments for items not on the agenda. If anybody in the public has a comment for an item that's not on the agenda, now would be the time. Seeing none. Town reports. Marjorie, have you got anything for us tonight?
I've just been working on year-end stuff primarily. We've been very busy with customers at the office as well. We've received a lot of requests for absentee ballots. I think we're up to 80 or more, if I remember correctly. For treasurer stuff, bank account is reconciled through May, and I think I gave you a budget report, but if you want one at any point in time, I can print that off pretty easily. Otherwise, I'll wait until I do the June reconciliation and then print one off then. But if anybody wants one at any time, it's not a difficult thing to produce. Does anybody have any questions?
Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, how did the fire department end up? I mean, you don't have to say specifically. I mean, I'm not putting you on the spot. I mean.
No, it's fine.
You didn't know how much more would come in, you know, for payroll and all that stuff.
So the payroll was just paid today. And what I have to do with that is do a journal entry to accrue those wages back into the, what are we doing? The 1920 fiscal year. And I haven't done that yet. I can see. So the last budget report. On the last budget report, they only had a couple thousand dollars left. And they had a bunch of work done to the fire trucks at the end of June. So that'll have to go in there, and then the payroll. And there may be a few things, other things trickling in. I just don't know yet. I have not done that calculation.
That's okay. But probably the next meeting we could talk about it.
So the warrant that we signed today, Marjorie, does that have the bulk of the outstanding fire department charges on it for the work that they were doing? Are there the plumbing bill and the, Christine shaking her head, yes.
I think that the Greenwood fire truck repair bill was in that.
Okay.
But I don't, but that's not reflected in that last budget report that I gave you.
Right, right. Did you get all your signatures on that, by the way?
No, I think Mark and you were the only ones that came in to sign it.
So somebody will have to go down and sign the warrant that Marjorie's got ready.
Okay. Marjorie, I'll be in first thing tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't know if I'm answering all your questions. So I did close the books. last night. I had to go through a series of processes to do that. It's not that complicated, but so we closed the books, but that doesn't mean that there are still some outstanding invoices that I need to pay that will be charged to that previous bill. In other words, if we received goods or the services in June, then that'll be a June bill.
I see. Okay, good. Any other questions from Marjorie?
Only that, you know, I hope at the next meeting we can have that discussion about what we're going to do about the fire department budget.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. So we're into regular business. Item 21057, which is to take, we had an executive session on Monday night for personnel issues. And if there are any actions that the board would like to take, and this probably would involve, a reasonable motion would be to somehow move along the process of hiring, the hiring process for a new town administrator. Donna.
Yes. I spoke with Greg Hanscom and with Maine Municipal. I had agreed to reach out to them and get some information. And I guess personally, I would like to give all of the town employees the same opportunity that we gave the office employees. And that's going to be up to the board if they want to do that. But moving forward beyond that, this seems to be kind of a practical process going from here would be to draft an ad with a return date and submit it to various outlets, then determine, and at the same time, we need to determine an email address and a person to receive the applications. And then once they come in, it was advised to just give a 2-week period. If we don't get enough, we can always extend that then review the applications and just determine a short list, conduct the first batch of interviews via Zoom, then choose one or two candidates to come to Shabig for a final interview. That was kind of the consensus that I got from Greg Hanscom and Cynthia Branscom, which was very interesting. Hanscom and Branscom. You don't really have that kind of a rhyme. And so I just asked them about a job description, not a job description, what an ad might look like. And so I'm just going to read something because I only got my last communication this afternoon. So I just came up with, this is just in general, and this can be tweaked, but something like, the town of Shabig Island, consisting of several unbridged islands in Casco Bay, Maine, with a year-round population of 350 and a summer population of about 1,800, is accepting applications for a full-time town administrator to work with a 5-member board of selectmen in a town meeting form of government. Duties include, but are not limited to, town treasurer, finance director, road commissioner, public relations, human resource manager, town planner, grant coordinator, EMS, and town employee supervisor. The successful candidate will have a knowledge of municipal accounting and finance management, personnel administration, state and federal decision making, and will have a working knowledge of computers and municipal software. Experience as a town manager or a town administrator is preferred. Interested candidates should email a letter of interest and resume too. And also a line in there that I just remembered I forgot to put in was the town offers a competitive compensation package. That was kind of the language that they suggested.
Do we feel that's true? And what is competitive? What does competitive mean, do we think?
I don't know. But apparently that's what we did before. But right. I don't remember.
Okay.
But I'm happy to change anything. I mean, this is just a place to start.
Yeah, just curious. Okay, well, this is not really a workshop on the topic. Do we have any action to take tonight? Which might be to set a workshop to work through these details, but I don't think we want to do that tonight.
I think that we should set a date ASAP, and I don't even know if it needs to be a workshop, but just to approve, you know, maybe wordsmith or whatever. I can circulate this and, you know, figure out if this is the direction we want to go in. I also have a list of places that they suggested that we advertise. And I have the addresses for those places, including, they suggested the Bangor Daily News, Lewiston Sun Journal, Portland Press Herald, Maine Municipal Association, and also municipal associations in New Hampshire, Vermont, and Massachusetts.
Okay. Well, what's the board's pleasure? This is probably a process that's going to outlive my tenure here on the board, so I'm going to leave it up to you guys. Anybody? David?
Well, I think that's a generic enough job description that I don't think we need to spend a lot of time hashing over it. I would just as soon get the ball rolling and at least get it into the local publications. I think given the times we're living in now, I wouldn't put it really much beyond Portland and maybe the Bangor Daily, Bangor, what is it? Bangor Daily News, Bangor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than try to do some kind of a national search or bringing in any other, consultants at this point. I think we can just at least go ahead with that and get the ball rolling and see what comes in, because my fear is it's going to be rather slim pickings in these days.
Well, I actually asked that question of Maine Municipal because I was concerned. David and I had talked about this, that we were concerned about that. And she said that right now, I can't remember his first name, David Barrett, who we had worked with us before, yeah. Not in the last one, but the time before that, that he is has several towns right now are looking for people, and they've had a really good response in applications. And so, you know, I was surprised at that. But anyway, that's what she said. She also gave me a free website to put it on too. I mean, and their recommendation was to go to, you know, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Massachusetts. So it's up to this board what they want to do.
Okay.
I'm going to take a different approach to this. That's a surprise. when Herb and I first started to think about, and I'm going to include you this without having talked to you about it, for which I apologize ahead of time,
okay.
About what, knowing that Marjorie was going to be going at some point, not exactly when, one of his thoughts, or our thoughts, let me rephrase that, was to think about talking to somebody at, like, the Muskie School, taking a young person and who had the academic credentials, but not necessarily the life work experience. And I would like to extrapolate from there to the fact that we have in-house one person who would like to have the job, who has 5 years working in the area and in.
I'm sorry, but this is inappropriate. And I think that we need to have an executive session if we're going to talk about this.
I disagree, Donna. And I'm going to just continue until Herb tells me I can't.
Well, just don't talk about individuals.
I guess that's where I'm going.
Have I mentioned a name yet?
No.
Okay.
It's a small town.
We have somebody else when we spoke on Monday evening who would like to move ahead and forward in what she's doing. And I think that we have an opportunity here to basically promote from within and end up with some people that know the operation, know us, know the town, and I think are eminently qualified, and with some support and help from Marjorie in sort of doing some training as time goes on for a little while, would do an outstanding job. And so I'd like us to think about working from within as opposed to without. And is that generic enough?
I'll follow up on that since I was indeed part of that discussion way back. We could look at a slightly different model for the town administrator as well. Our town administrator is kind of modeled on the town manager function. But we could get a little bit more creative in that. We could peel off most of the financial part of that definition, and maybe look at covering that internally. Maybe some sort of finance director role, and then the financial experience doesn't necessarily have to come from the town administrator. The town administrator then becomes more of a support person for the Board of Selectmen, which is a big part of the role anyways, and a personnel sort of manager. What we do with the road commissioner thing is sort of still up in the air too. But I guess at this point, I wouldn't want to slow up the process with you know, changing things too much. But maybe in your search and in the definition that you put out there, you allow some broad flexibility so that when you find a personality that's of interest, either as Jay has pointed out or something else, then you might be able to, you know, mold things in a slightly different way. In other words, just don't be too rigid with what's on the job description there as it is. And that's all I'll say. David?
Well, for the second time this year, I'm in agreement with Jay, but I really believe we should take it to an executive session at the towards the end of this meeting before we adjourn.
Okay. Marjorie, do we have to notice an executive session in advance, or can we just call one?
I believe you're supposed to do your best to notice.
Yeah.
And it has to have that specific reference that you're going to go into executive session according to.
Yeah, it does. I think we're okay doing it though.
I do too.
I'd entertain that motion at the end of the meeting if you want to do that. So I'm getting to the Mark. Go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead and finish.
No, please. I was just going to say it's sounding like we want to move forward right now and take it up at the end. And I was just going to ask for confirmation. So please go ahead.
We do have a hand raised in the audience.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. You want to speak first? We haven't even had a motion yet.
Yeah, I was just going to ask Marjorie, when you saw the ad for the town of Chevig when you applied 5 years ago, did you see that ad online?
I was only looking at the main municipal site, which is free. That was the only place that I was checking for either finance director jobs or town manager jobs.
Okay.
And I think that's most people in my profession, that's where they go.
Okay. And was that part of the recommendation that you just stated, Donna?
Yes. Maine Municipal, and there's another free one. I can't remember the name of it. She wrote it to me in a letter, and I've got too many pieces of paper here. There's another free one. And then I'm not sure if they're free from the other states, whether they have a reciprocal thing. I didn't get that far yet.
Yeah. Initially, I liked the description of the ad that you read. I'm willing to listen to, you know, edits if people think we should take some things out, add some things that sound more flexible, so on and so forth. But initially, it sounded good to me. And I agree with Herb. I don't think we should slow the process down by talking about changing our operations too much. If we're going to talk about changing our operations, I think we should take our time doing that, even with the road commissioner position. I think we should take our time. And I'm just using that as one example of an existing piece of the job description that still exists with the town administrator job description. So I would like us to go forward with starting to try to fill this position. And I think it should be advertised widely. Yeah.
You want to try a motion, Mark?
I would like to make a motion that we use the initial ad that Donna just read to us as basis for advertising locally in the papers, if people still do that. I'm a little out of touch if people still do that or not, but definitely on the Maine Municipal website. And regionally.
Okay.
I'll second it, and then I just had a comment.
Yeah.
So, you know, the idea is you put everything in here, and then when you interview, I mean, this is the fourth or fifth time we've done this, is that you find you have some candidates who are really strong in one area and other candidates who are strong in other areas. And that's really kind of how you look at it and figure out how you're going to make it work. And that was one of the reasons why we ended up getting Randall before. And we did hire somebody who was fresh, and we did hire somebody who we thought we could mold. And that did not work out for some people the way they had wished it would be. But this is flexible enough that, you know, the way it's written, you can hire anybody you want. It's just saying this is really what the job is.
What I was suggesting, Donna, is that it might be intimidating for some people to see that list and say, oh, I can't do all that. But if there were some way to sort of qualify it by saying that we're flexible with your, you know, with skill levels, you might get a few more candidates. That's all.
Well, in the past, what we've got were people then we didn't even interview because they didn't have, you know,
but it's up to you guys.
I mean, I think the first time we interviewed, we had 40 or 50 candidates. Yeah. The last time, I think it was about 20 something.
Yeah, which is plenty, really. David, go ahead.
I'm going to vote against this only because I think we should have the discussion in executive session first before we take a direction.
Okay. Mark?
I think we should be more careful about having any business item, but especially executive sessions on agendas that aren't previously posted.
Okay, thank you.
And I think we have to be really careful about, we do live in a small town, as Herb pointed out, and it can be very obvious who you're talking about, and it's unfair to people to put them in the position where people are listening in public and are starting to make assumptions about what we're doing and what we're talking about. And I just think that is not fair to anybody.
Okay. Any more debate on the motion?
Wasn't there a second?
Donna seconded. Oh. Okay, roll call vote. Mr. Corson? Are you clear on the motion? Everybody clear? Jay, you're muted.
Aye.
Is everybody clear on the motion? Okay. Jay? Mr. Corson.
He's muted.
I'm sorry, I keep hitting the wrong damn button. No.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
No.
And Mr. Manning's a yes, so the motion passes 3-2. Okay, thank you. Next item on the agenda, I did not allow discussion on that, and Lila had her hand up. Lila, I'm going to let you speak now. Actually, I can't let you speak. David, you haven't co-hosted me. So.
Oh, I got to make you co-host.
Or just unmute, Lila.
Yeah, I'll do that first.
Lila, you can
Lila, unmute. Go ahead.
I have no need to speak. So Hank and I are together, yes. And he had wanted to speak, but I think he is comfortable with the motion as it is put forward and carried.
Okay. I do apologize for not allowing you to speak during the debate period. That was my error. Okay, let's move on then. So the next order of business is 21058 Indian Point Roadwork Proposal to review an estimate from Woodward and Curran regarding assessment, design, and funding research to repair the eroded roadway leading up to Indian Point. So just a little bit of background, and this can be a complicated topic. We received a letter in 2018 from the Indian Island Company asking us pretty explicitly to allocate funds to stem and correct the deterioration of the existing bulkhead along the shoreline and erosion, which in turn is affecting the stability of the Indian Island Point Road itself. And the basis for that is that the town is one party in a three-party agreement, which is an easement access that was negotiated by the Sheboygan Cumberland Land Trust. And the town's part in that, and I haven't seen that agreement recently, and I don't know what the specific language is, but our part in that, according to this letter, our part in that is to maintain the roadway. And so the premise of the Indian Island Company's request seems to be that in order to maintain the roadway, we have to stop the ocean from coming in. And we have talked about this at several meetings, and it keeps sort of coming up. So what I would like to be able to do tonight is to at least respond to this letter, which I don't think we have ever done as a board, in some fashion. That would be really, really nice. But the main topic of the agenda item is to discuss the proposal from Woodward and Curran to do a design. And if I can summarize, I think the cost of the design is $34,500. That'd be an evaluation and relocating the road, a topo survey, an alternatives assessment, an agency stakeholder meetings, and an effort on from them to find funding for this work. And that would be a $34,500 fee just for that amount of work, so before we ever put shovel to ground. So with that, I will, this, although this is not a work session per se or a workshop per se, I'll open it up for some discussion, and anybody can interject a motion whenever they would like to do that. Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, when I read that, it sounded to me as if that was the top number, and that they said if we had a local backhoe or something like that, and they didn't have to bring something down to drill down in, that it would be less. Did anybody else take that out of that contract?
No.
I think there is some in-kind stuff, but it wouldn't be much.
Because it sounded to me like they were, it was going to cost a lot of money to bring down whatever it was they had to bring here.
The geotechnical investigation is about $16,000, and that includes a topography survey, geotechnical investigation, and site visits. The amount of that it's going to be digging with an excavator is probably pretty small out of those.
No, but I mean, if you read in the narrative, it said something about a piece of equipment that they had to bring, and that it could reduce the amount of the amount. Dramatic. I thought it was dramatic.
I doubt it's dramatically.
I think that that's something we need more information on, I guess, is what, if we could provide the digging that they needed, how much would that actually take off from it?
No.
I don't see that. I didn't read it.
I don't either.
I don't think I made it up. I mean, I read it someplace in something that they had. I don't have it in front of me, but in one of those, maybe it was his cover letter. Did you read the, is there a cover letter there?
Not in the packet.
But the one that we got before.
I don't know.
Oh, no, there is a cover letter. There's a, no. I really can't imagine that the backhoe is a big part of any of that project. It's mostly site visits.
He described some kind of a machine they were going to bring. And I don't have the stuff from a previous.
Okay. Well, maybe we need some more information then. I don't have a specific answer for that. So we could, the possible tax tonight is to gain some information. Even tonight, there are two people who already have their hand up in the audience who I bet are both informed about this. So we could allow them to talk before we made any motion, if you'd like. But to at least form a response to the letter, are there some things that we can say in the letter, even if it's just that we are looking at this, but maybe put it in the context of all the other projects we have to do and what, you know, where to let them know where it falls on our priority list, to let them know if we accept their premise that it's the town's responsibility to repair the bulkhead. And that would be my major sticking point with the whole idea. And I'd be prepared to make a statement right now about it. But let me ask you would you like me to allow, so Carol White and Lila both have their hands up. They're probably both knowledgeable about this. Do you want to hear from them right now before we go further?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. So I'm going to take you both, I'm going to allow you both to talk and you can take off mute. And Carol, why don't we start with you since you had your hand up first?
I just wanted to be sure that the select board was aware that the Maine Geological Survey has included Indian Point and their shoreline monitoring program as of 2020. And they're actually coming out next week to do some mapping. And so what they'll be doing is evaluating how much shoreline change is occurring over a period of time to kind of see how dynamic that system is and how susceptible to erosion it is. And the other thing is, I don't know if people in the town are aware, but that particular area has been mapped as what's called or designated as a federal coastal barrier resource system, which means that it has a certain federal protections because it's sort of a sandy spit. And one of the aspects of that, which I think maybe came into effect more recently, is that no federal funds can be spent to repair or improve any structures, roads, you know, that sort of thing. So basically, the federal initiative is to maintain that kind of a system in its most natural state because, you know, they're important natural systems, sand dune spits, and there's not that many of them in Maine. It's kind of surprising. We have several on Chebig, but there aren't that many in the whole state of Maine. Anyway, just letting you know that. The other thing is, I'm sure you're aware, but you know, the sea level rise study identified that area as the most vulnerable to sea level rise in terms of, you know, how quickly. So a very small increase comparatively, about a foot, will flood that entire roadway. So the reality is, no matter what we do to stabilize the shoreline and the next 25 to 50 years, that area will experience significant flooding and maybe underwater within 50 years. I can't remember the projections. I didn't go back and check. But it's, you know, those are things you should be aware of. I personally would not recommend, you know, reestablishing that bulkhead because it doesn't really do any good at all. And I think once the state has more information about that system, that's a conversation that we could have with them about what the best way is to manage the access to that property.
Okay, thank you, Carol. Go ahead, Donna, and then I'll let Lila speak.
Well, in 2007, after the Patriot Day storm, the federal government through FEMA put the money in and rebuilt that road. So was that part of the 93, the 83 coastal barrier, or was it after that, Carol?
It's been designated a coastal barrier for quite a while, but they changed the regulations in the past. I can't tell you the date, but fairly recently, to prohibit federal spending on boats. So I think it's been in the last 3 or 4 years. And so the other thing about it, which might have some relevance, not for this site, but some of the other ones on Chabig, is that you can't qualify for federal flood insurance. Because the federal government does not want you rebuilding on those sites.
And who's the agency that that covers that?
It's U.S. Fish and Wildlife, actually, that designates them, and they interact with the other federal agencies like FEMA.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think that would be something to, you know, contact them and talk about grandfathering or permit by rule. But that, we have photographs of that bulkhead, of parts of that bulkhead going in 1910, and there've been repairs to it over time. But that did hold that for a long time. I did find it was in the letter to Marjorie where Brent described, he said, I'm trying to reduce the geotech portion of as mobilization out with a drill rig. He had proposed to bring a drill rig out. He said it's pricey, and I'm trying to find alternatives to that. I'm hoping I can just hire a backhoe and expose some ledge and do the samples. So I think we need to get two prices. One, if he does the backhoe, so what he himself is saying that he's got a number in there that's pricey.
Okay.
So that's where I knew I didn't dream it.
No, I didn't believe you dreamed it.
But anyway, you know, I think we have a responsibility in some way to try to keep access down there for the public, because it's because of the clam flats, because of the access to Little Chabig. And there is 23 acres in conservation down there. And moving the road, you know, if we get 50 more years out of the road, it's certainly worth it for the people who live here for 50 years. So I don't think we should give up on it. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Lila, did you have stuff for us?
Yeah, I would like to comment. I would like to reinforce the comments that Carol White made. I think now is the point where Chabig needs to take a long view about this, not an immediate view. The effects of Mother Nature at Indian Point, a spot we all love, are very evident. And the question is, how long will Chabig, the town of Chabig, be able to continue to in staving off what is happening there? So I urge you not to jump to conclusions, but to really do your homework on this, looking at the long term.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so do we want to take any action on this tonight, even if it's to direct somebody to do something? Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, I move that we ask Marjorie to follow up with Brent and ask him if we can provide a backhoe, how that would change the cost of this estimate.
I'll second that.
Any debate on that motion? Okay, nothing from any debate from the floor, from the public? Seeing none.
Mark has his hand up.
I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
I was just going to quickly say, Herb, I'm fine with this motion, but I think Lila and Carol bring up good points. I think we should probably, you know, look into whether we can feasibly get or go after money to design and possibly improve that situation down there, but it probably should be on a longer term way of looking at it. In the short term, I think we should respond to the Indian Island people. Wasn't that your point, Herb?
That's what I was looking for as an outcome, yeah. But yeah. This doesn't negate that. We can make another motion. Or...
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Marjorie, did you have something?
Well, I've been in contact with them. I can't say that I've written an official letter of response, but
okay.
We've had communications.
Yeah, yeah. I just feel like the board should weigh in on, you know, whether this is even something we're undertaking. Okay, any further debate on the motion, which is to try and refine the bid, essentially? Okay, I'll take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson? You're muted, sir.
Sorry, no.
Ms. Dannon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mr. Madison, no. So it passes 3-2. Okay, any further action we want to take on this this evening? And I'll remind people that, other than getting the next little piece of information, nobody's doing anything on this. Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, I think that what we should do is once we get another hand, find out exactly what we're talking about as far as money, I think we should have a workshop, maybe with Land Trust in Indian Island, and say, okay, what is the possibility of rerouting the road? To find out exactly, what some options are. I mean, the road used to go at one point on the other side of that little cabin that now belongs to Andrea Ballard. Mike remembers that. Probably David does too. And then they decided to move it over that way. So, there's higher ground in that property. And as I said, there's 23 acres in there. And I know they don't want to lose access. I know the people of Shebig do not want to lose access. Probably the people of the state of Maine do not want to lose access to Little Shebig. The clam diggers don't want to lose access. So I think that there's a lot of stakeholders here. And I agree with Carol and Lila, we need to look at the long view here. But to totally just give up on that road and say, okay, we're not going to do anything. If we say that, the public no longer has access to that space. And that would be very sad for me. I don't know about anybody else.
Well, I'm not sure access has to be by car. You can have a footpath that can, be a lot less erosion, intrusive itself, and the parking lot can be up higher. There's lots of possible solutions. But I don't disagree that we should get together. But what about, it sounds like the regulatory environment in that area is not one we understand very well, if Carol's correct in what she's been saying. How do we want to approach that? Shouldn't we find out what kinds of restrictions may or may not be on that?
I guess I'm surprised that if they just did this, because when I was on the Cumberland Town Council when this program first started, in 83, and there was a whole process where they went to the municipality and they had input from the municipality, and the municipality was responsible for contacting the landowners where this was. One of them is down at Roses Point. Another one was down at Sandy Point. So I'm surprised that this town was never notified that this was even going on, because that was the Coastal Barrier Program too. So, and I can't remember if this was in it or not. I'm surprised it wasn't in it initially in 83. So I don't know. I think we need more clarification.
That was basically my point. So how are we gonna get that?
I guess we find out who's in charge of the Coastal Barrier Program.
So are we asking Marjorie to do that, our staff, or Carol's got her hand back up. Maybe she's going to volunteer.
I think Marjorie should do it.
Shall I let Carol back in?
Sure, she wants to talk.
Go ahead, Carol.
I guess I just wanted to respond first to Donna's earlier comment that, I don't think anybody's talking about abandoning access to the hook. I think what I'm suggesting is this is not an emergency. I think we now have the state involved in working on evaluating that entire system. And I think we should take advantage of that. They're working with the town of Brunswick and the town of Freeport doing some new kinds of shoreline stabilization projects called living shorelines, where they put in natural materials like shell reefs offshore, and that helps to stabilize the shoreline by cutting down on the wave action. And frankly, aesthetically, it's a lot nicer and it's also a lot less expensive. And they've paid for a number of those projects. So what I'm suggesting is not that we abandon the road or abandon access to the hook. I'm suggesting that we have the folks at the state who work with these things on a regular basis look at them, evaluate them, and bring that information to the community, and then we could have a discussion. I see little value in having a discussion amongst ourselves with non-experts on, you know, what our options are. So I think what I'm saying is, let's wait a year or whatever it takes. I don't know how long it's going to take Pete and his crew to figure it out, but I think this is not an urgent problem and an urgent need to spend money. And so that's my thought. And Pete, for example, Pete Slavinsky, who's been out here on the sea level rise stuff, is very well versed in the regulatory requirements for both the coastal barrier system, for the sand dunes, for, you know, other things. And so he would be a great guy to have at a workshop once he sees the site and evaluates it. And they're also doing aerial drone photography when they're out here next week. So, I mean, I'm just suggesting that you wait a bit. And, you know, personally, I question whether the town should be involved in the, you know, bulkhead, so to speak, anyway. That's not really an access question. But irrespective of that, I think the thing I'm suggesting is that we let the experts look at it and take advantage of their free expertise.
Okay, Marjorie, were you aware of the visit next week by the Maine Geological Survey?
Not specifically, no. I had been emailing or being copied on emails with Bob Ernest. He's involved because of the land trust interest in the property. I'm vaguely aware of things that are going on.
Okay, Carol, is Pete coming personally next week? Do you know?
He's coming, and GP Cog is coming also. So it's Rick Harbison with Greater Portland Council of Governments and Pete's intern.
Okay.
They have two projects. They're looking at coastal bluffs and trying to identify the unstable bluffs, looking at the sand dunes, and they're looking at the hook.
Okay. It sounds like somebody from the town ought to, make contact when they come out here so that we can start to get a little bit of direct information.
I don't think that's honestly necessary unless you really want to, because the goal would be once they get this information, they will approach the town with that information. I mean, it's up to you, but I mean,
okay.
The only reason Bob and I are actually involved is for the logistics, because they need us to be there.
Okay. Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, I really think that this is good information that they're coming down and looking at it. If we get into a bureaucratic situation like we have with dredging, we won't have to worry about the road because it will be gone. I don't know how many people have gone down there and looked at it lately, but I was down there last week, and there are places where it's right on the edge of the road. If we have the wrong kind of storm, and I haven't been down there since it rained the last couple of days, but there's a couple of places where there's nothing on the side of the road. And so I think that we need to be on top of this. We need to ask these people from the state to, as soon as they go down there, to give us some kind of a written report. I don't know if Marjorie could communicate with that department and just ask them to please give us a written report as soon as they do that. Because if we have to wait a year, if we have to wait 2 years, we've already waited a couple of years. It's been that we've been talking about this. And I would hate to have the road just, get into a mess like we got into before with the Patriots Day storm.
Any further action to take on this from the board? Okay. All right. Thank you, Carol and Lima. Appreciate your input. We will move on to item 21059 is a new agenda item that I am proposing to this board and to whoever next takes the chair, that's on there on a regular basis, whether there's something to report or not, because we are now the road commission. This body is the road commission and will be until probably we hire a new administrator, or as Mark pointed out, we may want to hold that position longer. I think that's sort of a possibility.
Point of order, I thought we voted to keep Marjorie as the road commissioner. She had 3 votes.
Is that true, Chris? I don't remember that.
I think it was the other way.
The other way around, wasn't it?
I thought it was the other way around, too.
I need to look back in my notes.
We have the minutes, right?
I think it was 3 to keep she offered to withdraw her resignation.
It was 3-2 to accept the resignation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Because I voted not to accept it, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Main, Hill, and Dyer voted to accept it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Herb voted not to accept it. I'm sorry.
The only time you and I have voted the same way in a long time.
I guess that's why I was shocked. Okay. I apologize.
No, that's all right. All I really want to do tonight is to hear. Mark has been doing the bulk of the work. I've done a little bit of field work. And Mark and I have had several conversations. I've done some communication with Jerry Douglas of Allstate. But Mark has really done the bulk of the work. So I want to hear a brief report from him. But I also want to kind of lay down some parameters of what this is going to look like going forward for this board, and make sure we're all on the same page. The road commissioner position often has direct supervision over the road crew. But I'm proposing in this scenario that we don't take that role on, and then that role stays within the town administrator role as part of her employee oversight. And the things that are not specific to road work, and that Marjorie as the town administrator still becomes the decision maker between. Or at least in conjunction with us, the decision maker between how we divvy up the public services time, what percentage of their time is to maintain the roads and what percentage of their time is to do other things that need to happen in the town, like, manage the transfer station or, all the other things that they do. So I'm proposing that we work cooperatively with Marjorie and take on a little bit more of a recommendation style approach, at least initially. It should be easy to do now because we're well in our way to this next construction season. So I don't see any major decisions. I'm proposing that it's more a cooperative coordination rather than taking over of all the traditional functions of the road commissioner. So I'd open it up to discussion if there's anybody that kind of disagrees with that approach. That this board and no members of this board will be directing the public services personnel at all. That will still be done through Marjorie. That's the main point. We all in agreement on that?
I just need a clarification. So the way this would work, if we felt that a culvert needed to be done, we tell Marjorie that a culvert needs to be done, and then she tells the road crew they have to do it? I mean, or can she say, no, they're doing something else that day? I mean,
I'm suggesting that we be cooperative and a little more general, and we don't say Tuesday the road crew has to do this, but that we try to give her plenty of advance notice and say, the Allstate's paving crew is going to come out here in late August, and we feel that there's three culverts. Can the road crew attend to those before they get out here and work in a sort of a cooperative effort like that? So I'm not suggesting that we, we can, Marjorie works at our behest. We can take a vote and direct her to do anything we want, but I'm suggesting that we not change up things too awful much, and that we basically concentrate on trying to finish the work, taking some load off of Marjorie to get this the season underway while all the other things we asked her to do are in the works here.
I guess I don't see what the difference is between this and what we've been doing anyway.
I hope that's true. I don't think there should be a lot of difference. And I think that's kind of the point. So I don't think that we should contact the head of the road crew and tell him to do something, or contact Marjorie and tell her that this needs to be done on Tuesday on a day-to-day basis. So I would agree that shouldn't be a big change.
How do we know that it's going to get done on time then?
A little bit of trust in our town administrator.
It's like I said, I don't see why this is any different than when she was the road commissioner.
And that's what I'm trying to assure. That's exactly what I'm trying to assure, that we're not taking on more responsibility really than we were doing before. That's kind of the point. Because technically we are now have the role, and technically in most traditional environments, we could direct the road crew. I'm suggesting we don't. I'm suggesting we do what we've always done. So anybody else? I mean, in 2 weeks, I'm not going to be here anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I'm just trying to get it out on the table so that there's a clear understanding between the town administrator and the board about how this Allstate's paving work is going to go and what the roles are. It looks like you having trouble, Mark, staying on? You must be having some problems.
No, frozen.
Go ahead, Jay. Well, why don't we wait for Mark? Sure. And we could even come back to it. Since he's a kind of a central player in this.
Not much I can do about that.
No, there isn't.
Just go ahead. An update.
Go ahead, Marjorie.
So I definitely still check in with Chuck daily, Chuck and Doug. The Firehouse Road culverts are done. We're going to do the driveway culverts, the Nathan Dowdy and the Sue Benner, those things we're going to do beginning of next week, as well as the three culverts on so-called North Road / Cottage Road. Those will be done next week.
Perfect. And you've been talking to Mark about that anyway, I think, right? You and Mark have been communicating about that, or?
Through email, yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, that may be the end of the report.
He may have signed out to come back in again. Sometimes you can reboot it.
Yeah. Anybody gotten any text from him?
No, I haven't received anything.
I'll text him.
Quick call.
He can come in by telephone alone if he's having...
Okay, I'll text him.
And the directions for that are on the town website, if he can get to the town website.
I think it's actually right on the agenda.
You're right, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, he just texted me.
Oh, he did? Okay. What's he saying?
My internet connection has stopped me. Sorry, we're trying to get back.
Oh, I know how that feels.
I'll suggest he can call in.
With the telephone? Okay, I won't bother.
Yeah, if you can give him the phone number and the password in your text, Herb, that might help him.
Technology is wonderful when it works.
I have an idea. Why don't we get fiber around the island?
That's a good idea. I wonder if anybody's thought of that.
It's just something that just came to me.
Any text back from him, Herb?
He's not here yet.
He might not have his phone right with him, too. Maybe call his landline.
Either of them work.
I don't think they, I think they gave it up.
Oh, they did? Okay.
You're right.
There's something. What's that?
Beverly Johnson says his internet is not training up. We've got everybody working on this problem.
That's good.
My problem with putting it in the text is he probably can't read it and type it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You could also text him and say if he wants to come to the, I'm at the museum, we've got two chairs here, if he wants to come and do it on that.
Beverly says his internet is back up, so that's a possibility again.
Okay. I'll tell him.
This is like a reality TV show.
Hey, it's real time.
Oh, wait a minute, I gotta go climb up the telephone pole on the top up front here so that I can text Mark.
Well, while you're at it, why don't you tap into the fiber that goes right by your house?
Which one? There's two of them.
That's true.
You're gonna be on both sides. You better just hope they don't start charging by the footage, you know, like utilities, like sewers and stuff.
Beverly said his line just went down again, so we better stay on the phone.
I just texted him, it went back up.
It's down again.
Ah, he must be having some trouble.
Well, she's putting in a service call, so in a couple of days, we should be all set.
Let me just call him.
Well, if you get a busy signal, you know what's happening.
Right. I'll be right back.
Maybe he's going over to his house and knock on the door. Might be easier.
A couple of tin cans and a string would work.
Yeah. That's what Thomas did when the library first got that fiber up there. He rigged up something out of Rachel's room in a tree, and he had it so he could get some kind of internet rig through the woods.
Yeah, it's called a cantenna. It is.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what he did.
Now, when I was a kid, I actually ran a string from room to room. And when it had to turn a corner, I put another string to, you know, to hold it off the corner so it could make a right-hand turn. And went through a couple of rooms, and it really didn't work too well, but, you know, it was communications.
I didn't get all of them. It just went to his voicemail. And I haven't gotten any text back, so I'm not sure where we stand.
And I'm not seeing, his in the attendees yet either.
No.
Herb?
Yes. A
quick question, something unrelated to the current, whether marking it back on or not. Do we have to approve the warrant?
We approve the warrant, which the, you mean the town meeting warrant?
Yeah.
We did that.
We signed it.
We did.
It's all, that's all done. Okay.
Yeah.
We did that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
Right. I just having read through it on an absentee ballot, I just.
Yeah.
And looking at all 35 questions you have to answer.
I know.
Okay. I think Mark is on. Mark, can you confirm?
That's his number.
You
there?
I'm on the phone. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We can hear you. Welcome back. We can hear you, Mark. Okay. We haven't done anything. We've been waiting. Before we lose you again, do you want to give us a synopsis of the plan with all states?
Yeah, I'll start with the plan with all states and then some culvert replacement info. So as you all know, Herb and I have been in touch with Jerry Douglas of All States Asphalt. We're working towards a revised contract with them for cold mix paving. Obviously, Firehouse Road is already part of our plan to resurface. Along with that, we have asked Jerry Douglas to price out the remainder of North Road, which is from Schoolhouse Road to Cottage Road, as well as either the entire length of Cottage Road or as much of Cottage Road as we can realistically fit into a budget. We have also asked Jerry to try to target a number that would reflect our goal of our original contract number, which was around $285,000. So I spoke with him yesterday, and he will not have those numbers for us until late next week. So I apologize for that, but they're pretty busy. So he will get us those numbers, hopefully with a revised proposed contract with the descriptions of how they're going to overlay the roads, and we will present that to you for consideration. So that's where that stands. As far as the maintenance work going on, the road crew, Chuck and Doug and Bo have done a really nice job so far replacing culverts on Firehouse Road. They're done with the main culverts under Firehouse Road. There are still two culverts, driveway probably should be replaced over there, Nathan Dowdy's driveway and Dave O'Donnell's driveway. So I'm hoping that that's still on the list of goals to do. And then down on North Road from Schoolhouse to Cottage, there is 2 to 3 culverts that are in need of replacement, which is what I wrote to you all on my email for a suggestion of direction of next maintenance for culvert work. And then I think most of the remaining culverts that need replacement in the town under pavement roads are probably South Road after that. And in my email, I suggested that probably we consider a date of having those done before it gets cold this year, so that if we decide to target a big chip seal program next year for the roads, that we're not held up because of a bad spring or inability to get to those pipes, those culvert replacements next year. So that's my report. That's my suggestions. And I think you guys read my emails if you have any questions.
Yep. And your email's in the packet. So Marjorie, yeah. Does that plan sound okay to coordinate with the public services crew?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any questions for Mark or Marjorie at this point? Any other road commission work that we should take up? Topics that we should take up at this point? Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mark, and then Donna.
I don't have anything, Herb. I agree with what you said earlier, and that's how I specifically worded my email. I think the board, even though the board is technically the road commissioner at the moment, I think the best model for the present is for us to work in a cooperative manner through Marjorie with suggestions and suggestion of direction. If she wants specificity with motions, that's fine. But I think it will work fine until we go forward with our hiring process of a new individual and or take a look at whether the road commissioner is going to remain in that job description or not.
Okay. Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, I saw in an email, a conversation with Greg Melkonian, and my husband had a conversation with him too, giving his approval for drainage to go down into his property on South Road across from Julie Doughty's. And I wondered where we were on that process and if there's any other paperwork or something that has to be done to work on that project.
So as you know from reading that email, if you read it, I've worked for Greg Melkonian, so I know him pretty well. So I had a conversation with him about our intent possibly put a new culvert from the side of the road from Julie's garage over to the southwest side of the top of Secret Road. And because I was kind of feeling him out to see if he was going to have some concerns or resistance or and to see whether we were going to have to go with a drainage easement type of approach, which, as you know, is much more difficult. So basically, he told me he has no concerns, go ahead and do it. But I thought that it was prudent to at least have him send us, you know, he may not hold up in court or anything, but an email stating he had the conversation with myself what was being proposed and he has no problem with it. So I don't know if that's enough or not. I'm not a lawyer.
Do you think he would sign an easement, a drainage easement?
Probably.
I mean, I don't think it costs anything other than the cost of having something drawn up.
How many properties would be involved to get it all the way to the ocean, Donna?
Mine. Then it goes into a gutter. Because there's a gutter under Secret Road that goes by my house. And then it goes through the gutter by the town road. Then it goes down across from Susan Stranahan's across into David's. And then from David's, it goes into a piece that David and I own together.
Okay.
So if you're talking all the way to the ocean that way, that's quite a ways. And maybe it could be rerouted. There's also a big culvert that down at the end of Greg's property that goes into the ocean. Right. But I don't know. It seems like this one would probably go down. And Mike, do you know what I'm talking about? That culvert that's by our shed?
Yeah, and I took a look at it. I can't believe it even works. I couldn't see that it was very open, but I guess it does.
Yeah, so I don't know, but
okay.
So we'd have to have one all the way that would go all the way to the ocean. We couldn't just get one from him to start with.
We don't have to. I mean, I think it's best practice to get it from one point in the drainage system to another. But from what you said, it hits the Fenderson Road drainage ditch at some point. So if we just got an easement to that, that would sort of meet that criteria. It's up to you guys. It's up to the board. Marjorie, did you have something?
Well, I just wanted to remind you that if you're going that route of a drainage easement, then that's something, if you're giving somebody if you're asking him to give you a permanent drainage easement, it's something that has to be a town meeting vote.
Right. So I guess I would propose that we replace the culvert at the top of, across from Julie. So this water mark in the new culvert across South Road does not go across Secret Road. It stays on Donna's side.
No, it goes on the other side.
Oh, and then comes back over.
Yeah, our culvert needs to be adjusted a little bit.
I see.
Okay. I mean, the one under Secret Road that goes from my house to Melconian.
I'm sorry, Herb, I didn't understand your question.
Donna answered it. I'm all set.
Oh, okay.
So is the board comfortable with going forward with just the handshake with Mr. Melconian at this point?
Yeah, if he's okay with it.
He's okay, yeah.
It's not, we may want to seek a drainage easement. You know, that's sort of a policy decision that this board sort of needs to come to terms with in sort of a general way. You know, do we want to do that in every time it has to happen, or do we just want to pick the big ones, or, you know, sort of a different conversation. Okay, any other road commission work to take up?
Not for me at this time, Herb.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Thanks for the report, and thanks for your work on this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so hearing none, we'll go to the next item, which is 21060, which is Keep Maine Healthy Grant. Take any action regarding a possible grant award. So can somebody bring us up to date on where we're at with that?
Yeah, I can. We were on the list to receive about 65,000 plus. To date, I don't think Marjorie has the contract. That hasn't come yet, has it?
No, I've been working with the state, you know, giving them our various vendor codes and such. Yeah. Technical stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah. So I guess my suggestion to that, I talked to David today, he and I worked on this, and I really have drafted three different motions. I'm going to summarize what they are, because one leads to the other. The first would be to accept the grant, and authorize the town administrator to sign the contract whenever it comes. The next would be to move to authorize David and me to work with Lila and Eliza Jane Adams to draft job descriptions for the jobs that were listed, and to review those with the town administrator and advertise and try to hire the appropriate people. And then I have another one that's not directly related to that, but it has to do with the COVID testing. So I want to talk about that after. But those two really, just so that we could get the process going. And the advertisement would be contingent upon funding, so that, because we don't have the money yet, but we could at least find out if there was interest in the jobs. And we need to refine the job descriptions. And Lila and Eliza Jane Adams have volunteered to work with us to to try to get that ready. And then, you know, have Marjorie look at what the job descriptions were, look at what the ad would be, and try to get that out ASAP, because, you know, time's ticking. Two of those positions are only until the end of August.
David?
So to get the ball rolling here, I would move that first motion as stated by Donna.
Chris, do you have that?
No, okay. You want me to read it again?
David, yeah. Are you second? Yeah, Donna, I appreciate if you'd read it and also email it to me, please.
Yeah, I will.
Thank you.
Do we have a second? Or you want me to read it first? Okay. We accept the state's Keep Maine Healthy grant and authorize the town administrator to sign the contract when it is executed.
Okay, and that's your motion, David?
That's my motion.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Donna seconds it. Marjorie?
It just seems to me that the board should look at the contract before you vote to accept it. I just a gut feeling that, you know, you don't even know what the contract is going to say.
Yep, I think it's a good point. Jay?
I'd like to echo that and just say we need to read what the grant's going to look like. I mean, this motion says whatever it says, we're going to sign off on it. And I think that we need to have a much better sense of what we are agreeing to do and before we go forward.
Mark, you can jump in anytime you want since it's hard to raise your hand. David's got his hand up, but if you have something, go ahead.
So how come we haven't seen the contract details?
I've been in contact with the state. As soon as they did send out a preliminary list of awards, the list of awards, but we do have to sign a contract. I've had a couple of emails from a woman from the state that's coordinating the contracts. I haven't gotten a copy of that yet, but they're moving pretty quickly on that, so we should have it within the next few days.
Okay. Thank you. David?
Yeah, I'd like to amend my motion. Seeing as time is of the essence, what I would suggest we do is when we have the contract ready to distribute, we do so to our board and give the board a day to basically agree to it or to raise objections.
So I'm not exactly sure what you're suggesting. Are you suggesting that if that the motion is contingent on nobody objecting to the contract once we've read it?
That's basically it, yes.
Okay, it looks like we've lost Mark again.
The 2 weeks for our next meeting and then go through all the discussion. As Donna pointed out, we if we're going to do this program, we need to do it pretty quickly. We probably should have, I wish the state had started a month or two ago.
David, can I ask David a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, do you mean that the majority agrees or that all five of us have to agree?
Well, I would say that if there are three objections, then I would say that we would have to discuss it in session.
Well, yeah, if there's three, so you're saying the majority agrees.
Right.
As opposed to, okay.
Yeah.
So the contract versus the grant. The grant we circulated to everyone. We circulated the basic job descriptions, which just need to be refined so that we could advertise. The contract, and Marjorie can correct me if I'm wrong, will be how you account for it, how you, you know, how you get reimbursed and all that kind of stuff. It's not about the content of the grant. Am I right, Marjorie?
Well, in my experience, they usually have a brief explanation of you know, what the criteria of the grant is, you know.
Yeah, but it's basically what you're writing. I mean, the ones that I've written, when they come back, they're basically what you started with then this is how we're going to reimburse you. And, you know, you're agreeing to get, to keep, to have these records, you're agreeing to those stay with the timeline, you're agreeing to the October, I mean, the June 8th to October 31st. You know, those are the kind, I think it's more that kind of technical legalese, right, as and opposed to content. They're not going to come in and change and say we have to do this and we have to do that if it's not something we said.
It's going to be a contract.
Yeah, the only thing that I can think of that it will say is it will give those federal requirements to adhere to the OMB 133 requirements for federal funds like Davis-Bacon. And I can't remember them all now. It's been so long since I've done auditing.
Right, but that's accounting stuff. That's the point I'm trying to make, is that it's not the content.
Well, it is, though.
The point is that it'll be the same contract that the other 95 towns are signing in order to get onto the program.
Yeah, well, the other 95 towns have more staff involved than we do. I guess I just have to kind of stop this conversation. I'm not even exactly sure of where the motion is at this point. We should not enter into any contract without reading it. It's just common sense. I don't care. This is not an emergency situation. Nobody's even talked about, this board hasn't even talked about these positions. And just so you know, when I voted, the vote was 2-4 and 2 against to even apply for this grant. And when I voted, I said, as long as it didn't burden the town staff. And I said, I don't know if I'd support the town hiring, making a position, creating a position, because that's going to burden the staff. Well, this contract, outside of my control or input, is asking for 5 positions, all reporting to Marjorie. So you've lost my vote anyways in this whole thing. I am not going to vote to accept this grant. I think it's outrageous that there are 5 positions. I think it's outrageous that it's $60,000. I think it's outrageous that more than half of it is new positions that we haven't even talked about as a board. And it's all just under the pretense that we're going to get money, free money. And it's not, I don't see the need. And I didn't see the need last week when I voted for this. I said, if you want to go for paying for shields and a few other things, and I'm thinking, you know, $8,000 or $10,000 worth of equipment that's going to help out the taxpayers of the island, not burden, not having 5 positions to advertise, to report. So when these ambassadors, so-called ambassadors, are out in the field and somebody, they say something to somebody and that person doesn't like it, who are they going to call? They're going to call Marjorie. They want an ambassador to do something. They want them on their property. They don't want them on their property. Who are they going to call? They're going to call Marjorie. My understanding is that at the CART meeting, Marjorie was the one that was objecting to this, saying that it wasn't worth it and it was going to be a burden. And I just can't believe that the CART committee just ignored that and ignored my statements of the week before. So that's all I'm going to say. You've lost my vote on this entirely. So it doesn't really matter. I've made up my mind on that part. If you want to withdraw the motion and wait till Mark is here, right now it would, depending on how Jay votes, it might not pass. We probably ought to have a full complement to vote on this, but I'll leave it up to you. The motion, and I'm not even sure what it is at this point, but there is a motion on the floor to accept the grant. So I will except for the description discussion, there is a hand up in the attendees. That's Lila. I'll either accept more discussion from the board or I'll let Lila speak. That's your pleasure.
Let Lila speak,
please.
You're on, Lila. You're muted.
Can you hear me?
We can, yes.
Okay. Herb, I beg to you, Shabig is in an emergency situation. We are legally in an emergency situation. Marjorie, you're absolutely right, is in the hot seat with her position. Over the period since the middle of March until today, there are a lot of people who've been trying to assist Marjorie in being able to perform her functions in this emergency. We have no idea what is going to unfold before us in July, August, September, into October. We'd like to think that it could be just as quiet as it is today, but there is absolutely no guarantee that that will be the case. We have only to look at the national map of COVID-19 to see what is happening. The whole premise of this grant request is to be able to give sufficient support to Marjorie and the town of Shabig to be able to handle the extraordinary circumstances of COVID-19. May we all be so fortunate that none of those will occur and it will be a lazy summer. But I call upon all the selectmen to look at that grant request and to think of ways that it could help the town of Shabig rather than to scuttle the whole together, which is what I'm hearing now. Thank you.
Just so you know, I just got a text from Mark, frustratingly can't even get back on with his phone. Donna, I did extend your invitation to him to come to the Historical Society. I hope that's okay.
Yeah.
I haven't got a response yet. Okay, we can continue.
Well, I think we did circulate the to the board the grant application, and we did circulate basically what the jobs were. And those ambassadors' jobs were not reporting directly to Marjorie. They were going to the COVID administrator. We created that position to take the load off from Marjorie, who would track, that person would track the money, would do the ordering of supplies for the school, for the EMS. We reached out to the rec center. We reached out to CTC. We reached out to other nonprofits because that will cover those kinds of things. One of the ambassadors, as we're calling it, is basically a playground person so that we could open the playground and the ball field, because we've had a lot of requests for that. And that would cover somebody to be there 4 or 5 hours a day for 4 or 5 days a week so that the kids would have a place to play. Another person, one of those people, could be at the dump to help Gail. And Gail is beside herself. She has called me personally. She's called Marjorie. People are not paying attention to her signs. She's very upset. She just needs somebody else, another set of, it's not somebody coming down with a sledgehammer to go after somebody, but just a gentle reminder or to hand them a mask if they need it. Gail, it really bothers Gail. The other position would be going to Casco Bay Lines now that they have 7 boats a day. Not that they have to go to the early boat or maybe the late boat, but the ones in the middle of the day, instead of Marjorie and Gennaro. Gennaro would not have to leave the Stone Wharf or wherever he's working as a harbor master during the summer. Marjorie wouldn't have to leave the town office. That's what those jobs were going to do. The communication person is, we have many people who have been working on communications throughout the community who are getting burned out. And that's what that position would be. We are getting calls. I had under communication one, a letter that I got today, not today, a couple of days ago, from someone on the island who is really was really upset about the people coming here and worried they weren't quarantining. If you've been listening to the governor, she has now opened up Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York, that people don't even have to quarantine anymore to come to Maine. And we have a lot of people on this island who are very anxious. Maybe they haven't reached out to you. Maybe they haven't told you how they're feeling. But what Lila's saying is true. We have the potential to have a problem on the island. And if we can have, if we can try to do anything that will keep people from getting sick, that's all that we're trying to do. Nobody's trying to just fleece the state or the federal government or anybody else. And that was not the intent at all. And I don't think that you meant to say that, but that's how it might've come across to people listening in. And that's all I'm gonna say.
David? I might just say that the second case of possible COVID went on the rescue yesterday. I say possible COVID because that particular patient I have firsthand knowledge about was tested, but the results aren't back in. It doesn't take too many, and we know, I think the estimate now is we have about 50 new people, they're longtime residents, but summer residents, who have come back to the island, and we don't know what their testing status is. We don't know what their quarantine status is. We don't know really just what the story is. As Donna says, I think the population is on edge about this. And what we're talking about is not throwing money at a problem. We're not talking about I don't know what you would call them, band-aid solutions to this. What we're talking about is public education, getting people to understand where they are and why they have to be careful, why masks are necessary, why social distancing is necessary, et cetera, et cetera. Everything that has worked well on the island so far has got to be continued. And I think I and at least 19 other people on that committee agree that these are steps that we should take. I'm sorry that Marjorie voted against that, but we're gonna, and we have very definitely tried to lessen the burden on Marjorie and the town staff in order to make this work. Therefore, the need to bring on other people. As I mentioned, there are 95 towns out of 500 who got their applications in, and we're right in the middle. I think we're number 30. It's not a lot that we're asking for, but I think it's a lot that we're hoping to achieve. And I'll be quiet.
Thank you, David. I haven't heard back from Mark. There is a motion on the floor. We've debated.
There's an amendment to the motion on the floor.
Well, you'll have to restate it because there was no second to the amendment. So maybe you could restate it succinctly.
And the amendment is that when the contract is available from the state, it would be reviewed by our Board of Selectmen. And if no more than two object, then we would proceed.
Is there a second to that?
I'm going to withdraw my original motion.
You didn't make the motion,
David. Oh, David did. Okay.
You seconded, though.
Okay, I'm withdrawing that until we can have a full board.
Okay. I will. Is there somebody else who'd like to second the motion? Okay. Hearing none. Jay, you were muted. You weren't offering to second, were you?
You're still muted.
Working at getting unmuted. I got three different icons I gotta hit. I think I've been pretty clear how I feel about this whole thing from the beginning. I'm tempted to call the motion because I think that it would be a 2-2 and therefore not pass.
Well, it's your prerogative to second the motion if you want. David, could that?
I'm very tempted to do that. I'm sorry to babble here for a moment. I think that all five of us have to make this decision. I think that I think it's wrong. I think that going after this money was a bad idea. I think that nobody listened to the people that have to deal with it and have to suffer the consequences of accounting for it, have to deal with having additional employees. I think that you've not lightened Marjorie's burden. I think you've significantly increased it, although you claim that that's not your intent, and so be it, but that's the effect. So I'm just gonna leave it alone, but thank you for asking, Herb.
Okay. I guess getting a second, the motion, we take no action on the motion. Is there anything else that you'd like to do under 21058, the Indian Point Road Work proposal at this point?
I don't know if this would come in now, or did you have, I don't have my agenda in front of me. Did we have anything about COVID?
We did not. There is.
Max just got here.
Okay.
Thank you, Jay, for keeping an open mind.
I hope everybody else does as well, David.
Well, I appreciate that. A parliamentary shutdown would be not nice.
Hmm. Don't push your luck.
I'm not.
Mark apparently has arrived at the library and we're waiting, or the Historical Society.
Good, you've got an agenda. I didn't have one.
Hey, Mark, thanks for making the effort.
Yeah, sorry. This electronic world is difficult.
Yeah. Speed signals just weren't working.
Okay.
Anyway, so, I said one thing about COVID, but we can talk about it later.
Well, let me catch Mark up to where we're at. So we were still talking about the Keep Maine Healthy grant, and I don't think you heard much of any of that discussion, did you?
No, we left off with the fact that Marjorie pointed out we didn't physically have the contract.
Yeah, okay. I went on a bit of a rant, I'll apologize for, and indicated that I wasn't intending to vote for this. And my main reason is that I think the additional positions are going to burden town staff in ways that we don't even know yet because we haven't read the contract. And I wasn't going to vote for it. Jay indicated he didn't think it was a good idea. So with that, there was David had made a motion and Donna to accept it. The second was withdrawn, and the motion. We did not take up the motion because it got no second. So that's where we are. We were just about to move on. Donna asked about a COVID-19 related thing. There is no agenda item for COVID-19, but there is other business. So I will give us all the benefit of the doubt here and say that we have not left 21060 as of yet. And partly that whole dynamic went on because we lost Mark, and we may have ended up where we ended up because we lost Mark. So I will give an opportunity to make a motion again under that if anybody so chooses, and take up the discussion again if you wish.
Donna, why don't you go ahead and make the motion?
Okay. I move. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I move we accept the state's Keep Maine Healthy grant and authorize the town administrator to sign the contract. And I will add to that the contract be circulated to the Board of Selectmen, and that this is contingent on the majority of the Board of Selectmen agreeing to the contract.
And I'll second that.
Okay, so if I understand the motion, we vote on it tonight to accept it. Marjorie does not sign it until it has been circulated, and if two selectmen, if three selectmen oppose the or want to reconsider the motion, then she doesn't sign it until we get together again. Is that my understanding?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, is there a debate on the motion?
There's a hand up in this.
Yeah, thank you. Is there any board debate before we open it up to the floor?
Who seconded the motion?
I did.
David.
Oh, thank you. So it's basically a vote. It's basically a vote with a contingency. It's a contingent vote.
It is.
Yeah, it's contingent on the contract that comes from the state that everybody else has, the other 95 towns that are involved in this, and gives the Board of Selectmen a chance to review that contract and to reject it if they find it not acceptable.
Thank you.
Okay, anything further?
Just
go ahead, Jay.
Are Donna and David planning on going ahead and advertising and getting ready to hire people before we get this contract, or are we going to see the contract, make that decision, and then move from wherever that goes?
We never got to that part of the, we never got to the next motion.
I'll give you my idea on that. I would think, again, in the interest of expediency, we would proceed. And then if it turns out that the board votes against accepting the contract as presented by the state, we pull the plug on it and without having expended any funds.
So your intention would be to proceed with refining the job descriptions and advertising them without coming back to the board? Is that yes. What I understand?
Okay. Yes. Then if we have to backtrack, we will. It would be very embarrassing, but from my point of view, that's worth it to not waste the time.
Well, okay. Can I clarify? Because we circulated the various job descriptions to the board along with the actual grant application. And so those job descriptions would just be cleaned up as opposed to rewritten. I mean, they just need to be put into some kind of an ad form, but they're pretty much what you see is what you get.
Okay.
I think that everyone got that, whether they still have it or not, I can send it again. But that would be another motion after this.
Okay. And I will not rant again, but for Mark's benefit, I'd like him to hear my argument that when I voted for this at the last meeting, I also suggested that this should not burden town staff and should not burden the town in any way. And I think the proposal to create five new town positions is in fact a burden, and that anything they do out in public that drew comments from the public Marjorie would end up having to deal with. Any of the normal employee issues Marjorie would have to deal with. And even the advertisement part of it, the payroll part of it, background checks, if we're doing background checks, which we typically do for town positions, all of those things that go into hiring people for the town on behalf of the taxpayers, and all the accounting that is likely to be in the language of the contract that we haven't seen yet, which is what I would be looking for. If this motion passes, I'll be looking very carefully at the contract to see, again, what kind of a burden it produces for documentation and reporting on the town staff. And so I won't be voting for the motion. Anybody else? David?
And my argument is very simple. I don't want to burden the town of Shebig with sick people, dying people, heaven forbid. The purpose of this is to head off any terrible occurrences of that nature in the future. and we have designed the response to be as least burdensome on the town staff as possible, and to put the burden on the people who have already been working very hard to keep the island safe. That's my prediction.
Anything else from the board before I open it up to the floor? Mark, go ahead.
I guess I am wondering from David or Donna, and obviously I'm sitting right next to Donna, why we couldn't wait to send out advertisements until we look at and possibly okay or not the contract.
Actually, that we're not voting on that till after we're in. That will be after this. We'll talk about whether or not to do that. It might be just drafting the advertisement or getting it ready. Okay. But we haven't voted on that. This is just to accept the contract.
Okay. I have not heard the two proposed motions that you have, Donna.
Oh, did you hear that I had two motions?
I did. I guess I was confused in basing my question on what Jay asked David and David's answer.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So this motion is simply to a contingent vote on the contract. And then if we see the contract and we don't like it, we'll have an opportunity to to reverse any decision.
That's it.
Yeah, it isn't clear to me how we register that. We'll have to discuss that if the motion passes. Mm. All right, shall I open up to the floor? Anybody else? Okay, Lila's got her hand up. Lila, you're in.
Thank you. I am aware, as are other members of the CART committee, about the burden on Marjorie. Since March, there are a range of us who have done everything we can reduce that burden. I see this grant as an opportunity to really relieve that stress. It is at a level that cannot be continuously borne by either the town administrator or this group that the selectmen have created called the CART. I would urge you, her and Jay and David and Donna and Mark, to take a good look at the opportunities that are there in this grant, the kinds of flexibilities that are there, and what you see that you would need over the period ahead until the end of October, with a particular eye and Marjorie's oversight to see that it enhanced her capacity to respond rather than reduced it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else from the floor? Could raise their hand now if they'd like to speak. Okay, seeing none, if there's nothing else from the board, we'll take a roll call. Mr. Corson?
No.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Maine's a no. Passes 3-2. Okay. The next item on the agenda, Donna, you okay taking the COVID thing up under other business?
Yes. The other issue that I wanted to bring up, though related to the grant, was moving to authorize Selectmen Hill and Damon to work with Lila Bicharat and Eliza Jane Adams to draft and refine job descriptions for the positions described in the Keep Maine Healthy grant, and develop an advertisement that would be circulated for hiring.
That's a motion. That
would, and it would be reviewed by the town administrator. And that's not sending it out, it's just drafting it.
Mm-hmm. So your motion is done now?
Yes.
Okay. You got that, Chris?
Second.
have the majority of it, and I believe Donna's going to send it to me as well. So I'll refine it.
Okay, second, David. David seconded. Okay, is there a debate on the motion? Okay, I'll open it up to the floor. Anybody on the in the public want to speak on the motion? Okay, I'll take a roll call. Mr. Corson?
No.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Maines, a no. Passes 3-2. Anything else, Donna?
No, the COVID we can take up later.
Okay, thank you. Item 21061. This is really just to clarify, again, for expediency, Marjorie and I determined that we would have to have a public hearing on July 8th in order to meet the timing of allowing debate on the referendum ballot items. And so I went ahead and set that date and put it on the calendar and assumed. So this is hopefully to confirm that. There's not a lot of leeway in when we can have that date. But it would also give us the opportunity to talk about the format, the forum, and what in particular we might want to, what else we might want to do. My idea would be just to have just to go through the 35 items and listen to any public comment, answer any questions that have the staff answer any questions or us answer any questions about how it was put together. One outstanding question would be if we wanted to have a candidates forum that we sort of talked about at a previous meeting. It's not part of the referendum, but that would be a possible place to do it if this body wanted to do it. Or at least allow, like we usually do, a little statement from each candidate that wished to. So that's the intent of this motion. I would accept the motion to set the date officially at July 8th, 6 o'clock. David?
No, I move that we hold a public hearing on July 8th, 2020 at 6 o'clock for the purpose of discussing budget referendum questions, and as a part of that, invite any and all write-in candidates to participate by either making a statement and or answering questions from the public.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Donna. So what it sounds like is we're trying to get as close to what we normally do in open town meeting as we can. Is that the intent? Yeah. Okay. Any debate on that motion from the board? Any debate, any questions or comments from the public? You can raise your hand now. Okay. Seeing none, we'll take a roll call. Mr. Corson? You're muted.
Sorry, yes.
Thank you. Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes. Passes unanimous. Thank you. Okay. Item 21062 is to appoint, or to actually reappoint, to consider the reappointment of the following members to their prospective committee. Charles Hall to the Board of Adjustment and Appeals, Kevin Wentworth to the Coastal Waters Commission, Beth Wiles to the Cemetery Committee, Paul Balesker and Esther Danielson to the Planning Board, Cecil Dowdy and Jason Skillen to the Shellfish Committee. And Marjorie, I gather that we have contacted each of these persons. They've agreed to serve again.
That's correct. I did.
Thank you, Chris. Okay. Yes, Donna.
Did we advertise that there were openings? I mean, because in the past we have advertised even if there was somebody in there just to see.
Well, these aren't, well, they're not, I don't look at them as openings, so maybe it's just a difference in philosophy.
Yeah, that's how
if somebody's already on the planning board and wants to re-up, I don't look at it, they're not resigning.
But that's how we used to do it. I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, their term has ended, and we used to advertise them. That's true. And so they haven't been advertised as the answer to the question, right?
No, I went through this on Vinyl Haven one time, and an attorney told me that even though it's not a paid position, there is a assumption of reappointment, but it's, you know.
Yep.
I don't mean to get into a big debate about it.
No, we understand, I think. The question was just to clarify, and I think we have. Jay?
I'm curious because finding people to ask to become members of committees and boards around here is a challenge, to say the least. Did we ever get somebody that applied for the tax
quiet property?
Yeah, committee.
We did advertise that. What
did you advertise for?
Boy, I don't know. I've just been so busy. I haven't even thought about it. To tell you the truth, no one's come forward for that.
Yeah, I think that's just my point being that tends to be typical of, you know, what we're running into. So I would move that we reappoint all these people.
And I'm fine. I'm fine with reappointing them. But I think that one of the things we have to do is cast a wider net than just the town. As much as ever since we became a town, it's been, we only want to advertise on the town website because we want the town, we want people to pay attention to that. But we've got to use the calendar, we've got to use Beverly's website to get more participation. That's just a pitch.
Thank you. Is there a second to Jay's motion?
Yes, I did.
Thank you, David. Is there debate on the motion? And the motion again is to accept the whole slate of reappointments?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody from the floor, from the public, like to speak on the motion? Okay, seeing no hands. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yeah.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mr. Manzi, yes, passes unanimous. Thank you very much. Communications. Marjorie, do you have any communications?
Maybe this is more of an other business, fireworks permits. Is that a...
Do we need action or are you informing us of something?
Well, neither Ralph or I want to sign any of these. I have three applications, so I just...
Yeah, let's take it up under other business.
Okay.
I did have some communications. Ernie Burgess is the one I want to take up specifically. Marjorie, you got the communication, so can you give us some background on that?
I got a phone call from Ernie Burgess requesting that we extend the no parking area for at least a couple more weeks so that the fishermen have an opportunity to use that space into July.
And I spoke with Ernie, and I spoke with Stephen Johnson. I spoke with Justin Dowdy. I thought one more, but maybe not. Everybody was sort of mildly supportive of it. It's a little unclear how many people have yet to put off there that usually use that spot. They all agree that the season is running late, and that it could be helpful for certain people. Although I don't know of anybody chomping at the bit. I know Ernie is very late because he got hurt, and that may have been part of the prompt. So we have several options. I think we could, if we do nothing, and I noticed cars parked down there today. If we do nothing, the parking ban is currently over. If we make a motion to reinstate it for a period of time, we wouldn't be changing the ordinance. So we would just be sort of exercising our ability to control parking and traffic on the island. So it could be anything that we wanted to do. We could open up their 10 spaces there. We could open up half of them. We could open up them all for 1 week, for 2 weeks. Jay, I saw your hand first, and then David.
I think what we ought to do is tell any of the fishermen that are still looking to offload to let the town office know. Let Gennaro mark off a spot so that you're not wiping out all those parking spots. You know, you could mark off, say, 6 or 8 of those spots, and that would be more than enough to bring a load of traps down, load them onto the boat, take the trailer away, and be good. And, you know, that could be done on an organized basis through the town office to Gennaro to mark the space off.
Yeah, that's a pretty creative solution. It would have to be done a little bit in advance so that you wouldn't get an overnight parker that was screwing you up.
Right.
But I think it's entirely a workable solution. David, go ahead.
Well, it strikes me that for the first time, probably in, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, the demand for parking at the Stone Wharf is less than experienced, which I think for this year only, I hope it's for this year only, I think we could relax the parking rules. I like Jay's idea and maybe extend it a little bit and say, instead of setting off that entire northwest face of the wharf for that purpose, go ahead and mark off maybe 6 spaces for the next, whatever the request is, 2 or 3 weeks. And what is the request? How many weeks?
I didn't write anything down. He just asked if we could extend it into July. I think he said 2 or 3 weeks, but.
Your email said 2 or 3 weeks.
Did it? Okay.
And he basically, when I asked him in his deferential way, he basically said, he wouldn't give a time. He said anything you could do would help.
Right, right.
So, and that's just, you know, Arnie. Mark?
I would like to make a motion that the Board of Selectmen authorize the town administrator and the parking enforcement officer to extend the June and November parking area only from including the yellow striped zone and the 5 spaces towards the Islander for another 2 weeks.
So that opens up 5 parking spots, like right now where, what's his name, has his gear. Barry has his gear.
Yeah, okay. I'm just thinking that if we leave the 5 spaces available from the yellow stripe over to the barge ramp, that area that my motion refers to is historically where at least Ernie likes to operate.
Okay, is there a second to that? I'm sorry, David?
I will second Mark's motion.
Okay, thank you. Is there a debate on the motion?
So just to clarify, so we're talking about we're going to sign it, we're going to mark it off or something so that people know, we're going to get it on all the, like Beverly's website, the town website, so that everybody will understand what's going on.
Put some traffic cones down there, yeah.
Yeah, we certainly would need some.
And I agree with David, this is the year, if it's ever a year, it's this year because, I mean, I went down there the other day and there's nobody, you know, and that was when it was, they have, you know, the whole space down there. So I really do think that this is not an unreasonable request. And I did talk to Ernie and I talked to Mark Magoon and a couple of other people who have traps down there, and they all were in the same position.
Okay, good. So Marjorie, do you have enough information to go with that discussion?
Yes.
Clear enough? Okay, thank you. Mark, go ahead.
Just one more point that's a tiny bit unrelated to this motion. We're still lacking one permanent sign on the end of the area that my motion refers to, closest to the, what I call the punt float in front of the Islander, meaning we only have one sign down at the Stone Wharf that says no parking June and November. So we probably should get one at some point and put it up. Thank you.
You good with that, Marjorie?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, that's all right. Anything from the public on that motion? Seeing none, I will take a roll call. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yeah.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you very much. So next time somebody sees Ernie, we can let him know the outcome. I don't see him that much. Anything else under communications? We had a letter from, a follow-up letter from, who's the individual down by the rec,
Brenda LaPointe?
Yes, thank you, Brenda LaPointe. I think the whole board saw that, right? You guys have seen that. So just to put that, report that out to the public. Thank you. If anybody wants to take action on that, we can do it in other business.
Could you remind us what the basic content of the letter is?
Yeah, Marjorie, you want to do that, or Jay's got it right in front of him there.
I got it right here. Basically, she says that she would consider, I'll get to the nub. I would consider a $50,000 and would accept payment over 3 years period. Basically, she wants to get some money to buy her daughter a car. That's what she says.
Nice car.
Okay.
Well, it's over, 50 over 3 years is not such a nice car.
Yeah. Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that that we should just have this be an agenda item and you know, have time to think about it, talk about it, have the public know that it's out there.
And that's fine.
Put it in another packet, you know, and then decide what to do about it.
That's fine. Everybody in agreement on that?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Any other communications from anybody?
Yeah, we've had a couple from CTC, a couple of letters. One they asked to meet with us, and the other one just came in this afternoon about, the first one was about the dredging and the problem with the, you know, the which we all know about the silt filling in. And the other was about the rescues based on COVID. I guess that had to do with something that happened this week.
Yeah, maybe even today or yesterday, I think, or something. Yes, and it was a question on whether the rescue crew followed the procedure that was laid down. And Matt Ridgeway was calling into question whether that was followed closely enough. And he got a response from Ralph this evening. I don't know if you all saw it. It came in when we started the meeting. That Ralph was not on the call and he would look into it. Anything else?
Well, the question about meeting with them about the, you know, what to do about the dredging, you know, so maybe that, put that on a, if we have a, you know, let's talk about this, you know, set up a time or something in the future. I don't know if we're prepared tonight to make that decision. Anyway, I think we need to respond and say that, you know, we'd like to get together with some kind of a discussion.
Okay, Jay.
I do. We've had that conversation several times fairly recently with them. Matt Ridgeway had written us a letter about the issues with the silting and the draft of the vessels and so forth. You know, I read Carol's letter and all I'm thinking is, well, we've already had this conversation and what are we going to do about it? I mean, we're doing what we can.
There's probably no harm meeting, but I would agree with Jay that there's little amongst ourselves that we're all in agreement that, you know, the Army Corps is holding us up. There is, you know, it prompted me to go back and look deeper into the Army Corps information a little bit that they gave us on this eelgrass thing. And, you know, it's very frustrating. I mean, they have three or four different eelgrass maps from four or five different years. It seems pretty clear in that process that we're not holding them up it's part of the construction process where they have to mitigate it, and they're looking to us to mitigate it with a couple of methods. So Marjorie put a question in to clarify that, and you've got no response, as I understand, Marjorie. Is that correct? Yeah. And so it's just very frustrating. I mean, the door just closes. So I'm not sure what to do, except maybe start a letter writing campaign to the Army Corps president from project manager from everybody on the island to barrage him with letters from everybody. I don't know. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, the letter I wrote, I can't remember when it was, last January, February, Marjorie has it, and it went out to the congressional delegation. And as far as I know, only Susan Collins responded indirectly by getting in touch with the Army Corps. I would suggest, to make it easy, that we simply resend that letter with a cover letter saying, this is what we sent last January, whatever the date was. We've heard back from only one. We'd like to resubmit this request for action.
And perhaps append the CTC, Matt's recent email describing the change in action.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Marjorie?
I thought I was supposed to be working on a packet for, I have the name here on my pile of stuff to do.
Yeah.
Somebody from Pingree's office.
Yes, because I spoke at, and I think I sent that out to everybody.
Right.
I spoke at the Island Coalition meeting, and the person from Shelley Pingree's office was actually the liaison for the Corps of Engineers. And so she asked for a packet of information that so that she could then get on it, because that's part of her job.
So,
I did tell them about the rescue part of it, which is a new wrinkle. So I think Marjorie is on top of that.
What we could do is we could shame them into it and say, we've only heard from Representative Pingree's office. How about the rest of you guys stepping up?
Well, and I wonder about the state, if we're getting to the point where we can't run the rescue, you know, there could be a rescue during that 1 hour period of time, or it's usually half an hour before low tide and a half an hour after on those low draining tides, that, you know, maybe we could get some push from them as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm about ready to say anybody should write a letter to anybody they want. And just, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, and I think we're all on the same page. You know, this just needs to happen after 20 years or 15 years or whatever it's been.
Well, when they asked me how long it had been going on, I said at least since 2009. All we were trying to do is get in the process of doing our own dredging and pay for it.
Yeah.
And then they suggested that we get in this program, which has been limbo.
And we have been given assurance after assurance that, yeah, it's in process. It'll be just a few more months. And it's not.
You're on the list.
Yeah, you're on the list.
In the mail.
Okay.
What list?
So I'm just suggesting that if I don't think we need to organize anything, the information's pretty clear. Marjorie, once you get that packet put together, if you could make it available to this board, you pursue Shelley Pingree's connection that Don has started for us directly. And if anybody else has any other creative ideas, I think we just need to strap on the guns. I mean, what else can we do? Are we good on that? Anything else? Okay. Any other communications?
That
we want to take out?
I had one that I will share. This was from Beverly Murray, and she asked me to, she said, I wasn't sure who to share this with, but I thought you might find it as interesting as I did. This was copied from the Johns Hopkins site and answered a question I had heard about the state's decision to allow people into Maine if they have a certification of a negative COVID-19 test. Many are on the island, not quarantining, she got capitalized, and and citing their negative test results as a reason for being on the ferry 2 days after arrival. Many are abiding by the quarantine protocol, but many, many others are not, and the residents are concerned and talking. Yikes. Feel free to forward this information to whomever you think also might find it enlightening. I'm not trying to be a rabble-rouser, but I think this is important. Apparently, Governor Mills feels the certificate is good enough. Now, as of today, as I said earlier, they've opened it up not just to Vermont and New Hampshire, but also Connecticut, New York and New Jersey. And so this is what she quoted from the Johns Hopkins. If you are tested and the test is negative, do you still have to be quarantined? The answer was yes. The reason is the test measures infection, not exposure. Someone can be exposed on a Monday, not develop an infection yet on a Tuesday and test negative, but then develop a clinical infection on Wednesday and then have a positive test on Thursday. So quarantine needs to last for 14 days, regardless of testing results. And now we don't even need quarantines. And so we've got people in this community who are very, very anxious. And we're getting to the point where people are going up to other people at the beach and asking them questions about where they're coming from and that kind of thing. So I just wanted people to, I told Beverly I would share that.
Thank you. Anything else on communications? Okay, thank you. Hearing none, approving minutes from June 17th. Jay?
I move we approve the minutes from the meeting of June 17th, 2020.
Second.
Mark seconds. Thank you. Discussion? Seeing none. Any from the public? Seeing none. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes. Thank you. Passes unanimous. Other business. Donna, go ahead.
Okay, this came up during the CART meeting, and Marjorie brought up that she felt uncomfortable mentioning about the COVID testing group in communications because she wasn't sure the Board of Selectmen wanted us to do that. And so I guess we have a lot of nonprofits and we're putting a lot of information out in different ways. And it doesn't have to be in Marjorie's, her update to the community or whatever, but I just wanted to clarify that, see if the rest of the board is on board with us in our communications, adding in addition to all the nonprofits and other island groups and businesses, updates that we also, it's okay to include the people who are the COVID testing group.
Okay.
I would say no. The COVID testing group hasn't even talked to the church yet, by the way. And there's been nothing about the money or how it's going to be organized or anything else. So it might be nice if there was a little organization on that end of things. And since the town, by the way, has nothing to do with it, you know, I wouldn't stick my hands too deeply into it.
Well, I guess the point was the town doesn't have too much to do with the golf club or anybody else that we're putting information out on. You know, that was the point.
I don't understand what that has to do with anything.
Marjorie?
Okay.
Marjorie, go ahead.
I only said that what I heard, and I don't even know who said it, what I heard was something about putting the availability of testing in my next letter. I only said that I did not feel comfortable advertising that program in any letter that I specifically wrote. That's all I said.
Oh, okay, you don't mean in any of the communication information. Oh, okay.
My criteria would be that if an organization, and most of our organizations we're talking about are organized 501c3s, not civic groups. If they put out a public statement and you feel that it's relevant to the COVID discussion, and you quote that public statement and you report on it, I don't see any problem with that. But I don't think you should be going out of your way to make statements that haven't been made public in some regular means, like they're posting on their website or they're posting on BEV's website under their own name. You are an information gatherer, not an information generator, in my mind. So that would be my criteria. If this group gets together and says to Beverly, here's what we're doing, here's what we're offering, and you want to perpetuate, you want to amplify that, that makes sense. But to just report on a group of whatever group of private citizens are doing doesn't seem to me to fall into your purview, or should be something the town participates in.
No, I think what you're describing is what we're talking about. It's the same with the golf club, which is actually a business, or Julie. If Julie has a message that she wants us to get out, that she's putting on Facebook or whatever, then we're reiterating what she's saying. I mean, and this testing group is on Beverly's website with movies and everything else. So, okay, thank you. And thank you, Marjorie, for the clarification.
Okay, so there's no action to take there. Everybody, we're good with that?
As long as everybody's on the same page.
I don't know if that's true, but it's close enough. There's a lot of ink on the page. Okay, so any other business to take up at this point?
I just want to thank Jay for turning on his light, so, because all I was seeing was his mustache.
Anytime I can help, David.
Marjorie?
I have gotten 3 applications for a fireworks permit, and I simply do not feel comfortable signing these, and I asked Ralph if he was going to sign them, and he said no. So I'm sort of at a loss as to even know what to do with these. Our ordinance says that people have to have a permit in order to use fireworks on Vinyl Haven, and it says that we may issue a permit. It doesn't say we have to. So
is there any criteria that we are offering to decline them? Do we have a reason prepared if the individuals ask? It's going to be a little bit more than you're uncomfortable. Is it a fire danger, or is it a public gathering danger, or what is the what are you thinking?
The town may issue a permit if it is found that the use meets the following requirements. And it's just that they are used on July 3rd and 4th between certain times, or December 31st and January 31st.
Okay. So I don't have any problem declining them, but what are we going to cite for a reason to do it?
I don't know why. I just feel uncomfortable being the one that has to sign these. There's so many people that don't want any fireworks at all, and I get emails and calls from those people. But
okay, David, go ahead. Yeah. Let's hear what the board has to say. David first, and then Donna.
I'm going to assume that the concern is a gathering of people in order to see the fireworks, and certainly our ordinance did not anticipate anything about mass gatherings in order to view fireworks. Is there any language in there that says for any other reasons per the board or something like that? Because if the idea is to get 50 people together at Chandler's Cove to watch fireworks, I agree. I don't think we want to do that.
Donna?
I think I circulated this, but I can't remember whether I just sent it to Pat or if I had the Board of Selectmen on it. It was Long Island's update yesterday, and their Board of Selectmen made a resolution, and as part of their emergency, whatever, we're under, to say there would be no fireworks on Long Island this year. So I think that to get Marjorie and Ralph off the hook, they shouldn't have to be on the hook, that I would make a motion that, you know, it's with deep regret that we will not have fireworks on Shabbat this year.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that motion with the understanding that our ordinance was very closely patterned after Long Island's.
Yep. And I would also cite in this that we are in an emergency state still, the town is, as Lila pointed out earlier, and Marjorie has the ability, even without our consent, to limit the flow of pedestrians or vehicles for that purpose. So I would also encourage you to talk about that, Marjorie. Any other debate on the motion on the floor? Anybody from the public wish to speak on the motion? Okay, hearing none. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you very much. Any other business to take up? Mr. Corson?
Move, we adjourn.
That's good business. David seconds. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mark, I want to thank you again for making the effort to get back into the meeting. I know that was frustrating.
Yeah. Sorry, appreciate it. But electronic problem.
Out of your control. And Mr. Manning's a yes, passes unanimous. Thank you. Stay safe.
Good night, all.
Night all.